This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I made a list. It's called My Issues with Tom Thibodeau from Game 4. Not my issues in general with Tom Thibodeau, but merely last night's basketball game. And the list goes seven deep. Seven things. That I had a major issue with when it comes to coaches' decisions. Now, we opened the show an hour ago. You could rewind on the Odyssey app, blaming the players, because obviously they deserve the blame. They're the ones defending poorly. They're the ones turning the ball over. They're the ones missing assignments. It's obviously on the players. Okay, so we got that off our chest. But the head coach contributes. So here are my seven things, and you can tell me if you agree with me or if I'm being too harsh.
Okay.
Number one, Tom Thibodeau. Why are you obsessed, single white female, with your original starting five? You diagnosed going into game three, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Maybe we should break it up.
Yeah, who plays the most minutes?
For whatever reason, he goes back to them.
The original starting five.
He used the original starting five to close the final 5 minutes of the first half. And we talked about this earlier. That run at the end of the first half did the Knicks in.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. The plus minus for those guys, the net rating is just not great relative to anybody in the playoffs. And those are the teams that aren't even in the playoffs anymore. They're just bad as a starting unit relative to the best teams in basketball.
And you know what's crazy? I said something that I didn't realize how wrong it was until I did more research. And that was, you know what? These guys are still learning how to play together. They're developing chemistry. This is their first year. Well, guess what? The Knicks' original starting lineup, the one I'm referring to that re-entered the game numerous times last night. Of course, that's Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, and Karl-Anthony Towns. They played 940 minutes together this season. Only one other lineup in the entire NBA even posted 500 minutes.
So almost double.
Yes. Yes. So the argument give it time, that doesn't even work.
Right.
Because based on two things, A, they were mostly healthy this season, and then B, Tom Thibodeau plays them monstrous minutes. They played almost double the amount of minutes of any other lineup assembled in the NBA.
So the question then becomes, why are they not, offensively, you'll give them their due, because they can't score. Why defensively are they all over the place, or seemingly all over the place at the time?
Why doesn't it mesh? It's a great question.
I mean, so if you have an issue with Tom Thibodeau, that should be the biggest question.
That's why I said it first.
You're playing these guys 900 minutes together. That's offensively and defensively. why do they look like they're lost?
And then after you finally decide, I'm going to change the starting lineup, that unit played significant minutes last night, including basically the final 6 minutes of the game until Josh Hart fouled out.
Yeah.
So that's issue number one. You agree with me?
That's a big one.
Issue number two, bench Josh Hart. He stunk last night.
Yeah,
he wasn't good.
That's like 1B.
That's true. It's kind of connected to one.
Yes.
Because he's a part of the original starting lineup.
Right. But I agree with that as well.
The number three, DeLon Wright. Remember DeLon Wright? DeLon Wright comes in. He actually played good, important minutes in game three, helping the Knicks come back. And he played in the first half last night. We saw him enter and start the second quarter. We saw him play a little bit of the third, really the second quarter. Mm-hmm. Forget the third quarter. He played about the first 7 minutes of the second quarter. That's when the Knicks went on their run and eventually took the lead. Okay, takes him out in the final 5 minutes of the first half. Jalen reenters, Mikal reenters. Okay, whatever. In the second half, we barely saw him.
Crickets.
And then after the game, when Tom Thibodeau's asked about taking Josh Hart out and bringing Landry Shamet in, what about DeLon Wright? Why not DeLon Wright in the fourth quarter? Like, I'm not trying to put DeLon Wright on a pedestal. What I'm trying to tell you is it worked in game three. And even last night in the first half, he played some good minutes, including hitting that big corner three, including being active defensively, including being smart. We talk about IQ. DeLon Wright was smart. Then why did Tom Thibodeau put him away and never go to him again?
Good question.
Thank you. It's number four. Am I up to that's three. Yeah.
I'm just on. Wondering, there's not going to be any answers to these questions, but they're good questions.
Thank you.
Just letting you know.
You may have an answer to them. You may say, Evan, here's why you're wrong.
Not that one.
All right.
Not the first two or three.
How about number four? You ready?
Yes.
Mitchell Robinson in the fourth quarter. Where the hell are you?
We've been asking this question the entire playoffs.
Mitchell Robinson, fourth quarter, 0 minutes. Why? What's up with that?
Because he's I know the answer to this one. Go back to question one.
I'll go back to question one? Okay, fair enough.
Obsessed with the starting five.
Number five, you ran your offense in the fourth quarter through Mikal Bridges. Why? Tell me why. Why are you running your offense through Mikal Bridges in the fourth quarter?
Because he's trying to be smarter.
Trying to be smarter?
Tibbs.
How's that smart?
Because he's trying to... Oh, I don't want to catch him by surprise.
Oh, yeah, I caught everybody surprised.
Right.
Number six, how about you try something different with Tyrese Halliburton, like getting physical with him? How about you try to push him around a little bit?
That's an easy one to answer.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Who's doing it?
Everybody. How about Mikal Bridges? Oh, okay. He's not physical? Then put someone else on.
Well, Mikal Bridges was getting cooked by him. So what are you going to throw? You're going to throw, well, first of all, you're not playing Mitchell Robinson, so you can't put him on him. Who are you throwing at? Tyrese Halliburton is going to body him.
Go back to Mikal Bridges. You can get physical with him. Challenge the officials to call something. Why not? And then finally, the best lineup in game three, shockingly. I remember talking about this the other day, saying it's crazy that Deuce, Shamet, Wright, Hart, and Mitch was such a good quintet. You know how many minutes those five played together last night?
None.
Zero. Zero. So Tom Thibodeau, who opened himself up to change in game three, try to basically ignore it in game four. And those are seven things. I'm sure there are people out there that got more. Do you have any more, Tommy? You want to bitch at Tom Thibodeau some more? Or did I nail all of it?
You were pretty good. I will say that the Bridges looks, he was wide open, but the corner three is not his strength. It's the mid-range game. So if you're going to run your offense through Bridges, get to a spot where he is the most potent and lethal, and that's the mid-range jumper, which he is great at, not the corner three. My biggest issue with your list was issue number one, which was the chemistry stuff. Evan, three of your favorite sitcoms of all time are Friends, 90210, and How I Met Your Mother.
That's a great call by you. Yes, okay. You're spot on with that.
Your favorite season of any of those shows, was it the first season?
That's a great question. No, I don't think it was. Probably like seasons three,
really?
Four.
Well, they had to be somewhat good because it got you hooked.
You're right. I'm not saying they were bad seasons, but if I was like power ranking the 90210 seasons, there were 10 of them. Obviously, the last three or four just shouldn't exist. They should be put in a time machine and sent away.
Of course.
I'd put season two above season one. And 90210? Who cares if Cindy's cheating on Jim? So show me Brandon with the ice skater. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is really for most sitcoms. Like, Seinfeld's my favorite. It took a while for the show to get going because these are actors that maybe never met each other, and it takes time to build that chemistry.
Yeah, but Seinfeld was funny from season one. You just didn't realize it was funny from season one.
I'm not the biggest season one guy of Seinfeld. It's just not my favorite. I think it got cooking as it went going, certainly with Friends, certainly with How I Met Your Mother, other ones that we mentioned. This is season one of The Knicks. Really, when you bring in Bridges, when you bring in Kat. So I don't think the chemistry is going to be totally at the championship level or maybe the, what you want to see night in, night out, because it is only season one.
So when this run is over.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Let's assume that it's over in this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be the talking point of Thibodeau and Leon Rose? What are they saying? And is it going to make Knicks fans feel optimistic for the future? That's really the question.
Well, the problem, though, with,
according to Tommy.
Well, but the problem with Tommy's theory is that on paper it sounds great. And I probably agreed with you a week ago. Mm. But when you do more research on it, you realize that even though it's only the first season, they've had so much time together that their time playing together is actually more than the Pacers unit that has such great chemistry. So sometimes you've got to make a decision, and I'm not ready to make it yet because we're in the middle of this series, but in terms of chemistry and just using the excuse of it's only year one, if they've played a ton of minutes together, even if it's in a short period of time, it may not just fit. It may just not work. It may not be a chemistry thing where you just got to keep running it out there. And based on the amount of minutes they've played together this season, that almost qualifies as like 3 years
teams. But if you're going to be fair, it does work. I mean, they won 51 games. They're the three seed in the East this year. So it works. The question is it work to be better than the other good teams in the NBA?
Right, but back to your point, though, Teague. It's work to win 51 games. You're right. But you even said it, and you were screaming about it before Tom Thibodeau made the change, which is, hey, this five-man unit sucks. Like, all year long, they've played it.
I didn't quite put it like that, but...
But the numbers say they do.
The numbers tell you that they stink.
The numbers as a unit say that they have failed to the point where Tom Thibodeau had to make the change before Game 3. And yet, he goes back to it in big minutes in Game 4. That, honestly, I said it first because that's the one that's the toughest to answer.
Because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
You're aware of your issue. Whether it's statistically driven, meaning analytics driven, or whether it's just your basketball IQ eye test as a head coach, you see what the issue is, you make the change, you win a game, even though you played poorly at times in that game, and come back and find a way to win it, and then you go right back to what wasn't working before.
Right.
It doesn't make logical sense. And so you start to question what's his motivation, unless he just gets caught in moments where he just defaults to what he thinks is best.
Right. I think that's what it is, because I don't want to put DeLon Wright in the Hall of Fame right now. I'm not doing that, but let's be fair about this. He gets into Game 3 and makes a major contribution to them coming back and winning. You can see it. Mm-hmm. You can feel it. You can taste it. All right. So now DeLon Wright plays again in the second quarter, and the same thing happens. We all saw it. We all felt it. He was a part of a unit that rallied, and the Knicks took the lead. I get that DeLon Wright wasn't a huge part of winning 51 games, but in Game 3 and in the first half of Game 4, your eye test is your eye test. Mm-hmm. He contributed greatly. I think we could all agree on that. How do you get away from that then in the second half? Where's your feel for the game that you don't ride that possibility, that you don't take this player and this rotation that works so well in Game 3 and even early in Game 4 and try it, especially when you're getting cooked defensively to start the third quarter? Like what he should have done in the third quarter. Think about the changes that Tom Thibodeau made in that entire third quarter. Jalen Brunson played the entire quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Mikal Bridges played the entire quarter. It was either Cat or Mitch out there the entire quarter.
Right. Is it usually, he usually does that differently.
Yeah, usually you will see your bench. We didn't see any of DeLon Wright in the third quarter. We saw a little bit of Deuce in the final 5 minutes. It just didn't add up to what was happening. It didn't pass the eye test. So I'm not commenting on next year because I think that's crazy to do yet. The season isn't over. I'm commenting on Game 4 because Game 5 is tomorrow.
Right.
What's he going to do in Game 5? Like, I promise you, Knicks fans, we'll talk about Giannis and chemistry and trades and firing the head coach. But let's let the season end before you do that. I'm merely commenting on last night and what needs to change going into Game 5. Because, no, I do not believe this series is over. I really don't. Is it likely over?
Yes, stats tell you it's likely over. But that doesn't mean anything. Especially if they get themselves back to how they played in Game 3. At least for the latter part of Game 3.
You know why I don't think it's over, though?
What?
I've seen the peak of the New York Knicks. The peak of the New York Knicks can win 3 straight games against the Indiana Pacers. I've seen it. We've all seen it. We just haven't seen it consistently. We haven't seen it.
So what makes you think you're going to see it consistently in the next 5 days?
I'm not saying I'm believing I'm going to see it. I'm not giving up on that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, well, they're down 3-1 and no team has ever done it from this kind of deficit, so they're done. No. It's freaking sports. And it's a team that has shown us what they're capable of doing.
So, Teak, you missed this, but Tuesday, Evan had the Knicks winning this series. Last week, Evan had the Pacers winning this series. I'm just curious, Wednesday, Evan has, what's the Wednesday, Evan,
so,
thinking?
So, let me clarify for Tiki Barber and for anyone just tuning in. I'm usually very, very hesitant to change how I feel about a series.
Yes.
What my prediction is, I'll live with, I'll die with it.
Yes. Mine's already dead, so.
Yeah, yours was Knicks in 6, you're dead.
Right. Mine was dead after game 2.
That's right. What was your prediction, Chuck? Wasn't it Knicks in 6 as well?
Knicks in 6.
Okay, you're dead. I had Pacers in 7. Tommy had Pacers. Knicks in 7. We're still alive. But I do want to be fair about that. So coming into this series, I thought it would be close. I thought it would be a battle. I went back and forth. I picked Pacers in 7. Yesterday, while you were gone, I came in and said, I got to tell you, based on what happened in game three and how many times I've seen teams blow an opportunity to go up 3-0, the handwriting's on the wall. The Knicks are coming back and winning the series. So that was my gut yesterday. Yeah. That's how I honestly felt. And I rarely, you've worked with me for a while, I rarely in the middle of a series change my opinion. That was a rarity. Now, you're asking me how I feel right now?
Yes.
I don't trust the Knicks to come back. I go back to my original prediction, which is the Pacers in seven. Like, I don't think that, if we're doing predictions here, or at least a gut feeling 29 hours out, I have a tough time believing the Knicks are losing game five at home. Like, that would be kind of pathetic, if we're being honest. Like, I don't think this team is going to go out like that. Yeah. So my gut tells me they'll win tomorrow, and then knowing the roller coaster of this season,
right. But they'll
win game six in Indy and then lose game seven at the Garden.
They also don't lay down after having bad days.
Correct.
And so it tracks, even though they did have two bad days to start the series in a row. Even though they weren't really that bad, they just got beaten in game two. And then they came back and got three.
Yeah.
And then they played terrible last night.
Right.
So they should come back and get game five.
Well, if you guys are getting on me for changing my opinion and then going back to my original opinion, I'll ask you, Tiki. Uh-huh. You thought Knicks in six to begin with.
No, I thought Knicks in five.
Knicks in five, that's right.
I thought the Knicks were on paper so much better that I almost picked a sweep.
Wow.
Honestly, I did.
Wow. All right.
Especially the way that they fought and played through the Boston series.
So what do you think now?
I think the Pacers are winning in five.
Pacers in five now? See, Tommy, you can't get on me for changing opinions. Look at this guy. He went from Knicks in five to Pacers in five.
Like, when they lost the game two, my original prediction was completely blown out of the water.
Right, this is a rebuy for Tiki. Like, yes. If you get knocked out in a knockout pool in the NFL season, right. Some leagues
especially
let you rebuy.
After the second day.
Yes. I go back to my original prediction. Pacers in seven. Yesterday was a weak moment because, honestly, it comes down from the history of seeing so many.
You just felt it. You just felt it because of what they did in game three.
Correct. I felt it because I've seen my team, the Knicks last year, the Rangers multiple times, blow a chance to go up 3-0 and have that be their death sentence.
Yeah.
And I've seen it so many times that seeing the Pacers blow game three the way they did, my gut pointed to, wow, they're going to fall and have the same fate as last year's Knicks.
Yeah, but
the Nets in 21 and even the Rangers multiple
times.
But
so much of this postseason has kind of, it's been weird. Teams go down 0-2, and then they destroy the other team in game three.
Yes.
Right? It happened Minnesota, happened Boston, it happened in, no, it didn't happen in the series. Yeah, it did happen, and it didn't destroy them, but they beat them.
They come back and win.
Right? Find a way to win game three.
It's we saw weird. Last year in the Denver-Minnesota conference semifinals. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. Now, let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Sam is in Jersey City. How are you, Sam?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you guys doing today? Just well. Listening in. Yeah, I think one of the main contributors to the is like I think it's Tibbs because like you said, Tibbs is just out here lying to the fans. Like he'll go ahead and start Mitchell, and then somehow Josh Hart ends up playing. Mitchell Robinson, and then Josh Hart ends up playing double Mitchell Robinson's minutes.
Yeah,
and that's like so ridiculous to me. Another thing is. The lack of IQ, like one of the earlier guys said, like Kat, I think it was Kat's fourth and fifth foul. It came one from grabbing onto Miles Turner's wrist while Miles Turner's just setting a screen, and the other one from just locking onto his arm. Like, that's just the dumbest thing ever. Why are you doing that? On top of that, Tibbs is running no type of offensive scheme. His offensive scheme is give Jalen Brunson the ball, everyone get out the way, or give Karl-Anthony Towns the ball, everyone get out the way. You have to get more guys involved.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to play defense. The Pacers are too fast. Like, I think the Knicks are the more talented team, but the Pacers, like, they're just too fast. They control the pace in every game. Not once have the Knicks slowed the game down. You have to play defense because you're not going to outscore them. If they get into a shootout in the next game versus the Pacers, they're not winning that game.
Yeah, no, you're
they
right.
They are not beating the Pacers in a shootout. No, they have to slow them down.
Yeah, but that's easier said than done. Because the Knicks also kind of want to play fast offensively.
Yeah, but they can't against this team.
I know they can't, but setting up half-court offenses over and over and over again and then missing shots, say that if that's what they do, you're really going to get blown out of the water.
Getting to his point about Kat, watching someone every day, you learn more about them. You know, you could read box scores, you could see stats, you could watch nationally televised games as much as you want. You don't know a player until you watch him every day. And sometimes when you watch a player every day, you appreciate their greatness.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a player and you're like, wow, that's amazing.
I've had the chance to do that as a fan. I watched Jason Kidd every day for 7 years, 6.5 years, and it was, wow, he's even better than those triple-doubles. He's amazing. He's an artist on the floor. Watching Karl Anthony Towns every day, I'll say this as respectfully as I can, he plays dumb. He plays dumb, and he brought up the foul example in which he's holding Miles Turner's hand. It's a great point, and he does that way too often. Way too often we see him commit these kinds of fouls in which you're like, you can't do that.
Right.
You're taking yourself off the floor. You're going to make yourself less aggressive defensively, obviously, if you get in foul trouble. And, like, certain fouls are good fouls. They're smart fouls. They're hard fouls. You're defending. It happens. Some of the fouls that Karl Anthony Towns commits, you shake your head and you're like, what?
I hate to keep coming back to the same issue, but they look like fatigue fouls.
Well, then that goes back to the regular season that they played too much then.
Well, I don't think they played too much because they're...
Then why are they tired?
Because they're trying to run with the Pacers, and you just can't keep the pace of the Pacers. They're used to playing that fast. The Knicks are not.
But some of those fouls are early, so it's even early in a game. So yeah. Is it fatigue or is it low IQ?
I'm talking collective fatigue, not fatigue in the game. I can't put it on low IQ because I don't think he's a low IQ player. When you see guys make dumb mistakes that you know they don't usually make, to me that's usually lapses because you're... I don't know, you can't collect yourself. And they're too good to not be collecting themselves as often as they don't.
Jacob is calling from Monroe. Good afternoon, Jacob.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm doing great. And Aaron Judge is also doing great. He's the king of New York, no?
Is this a plant by Marash? What is this?
I have nothing.
Where's Jalen Brunson? I don't see him. He's not a king of New York. Being clutch is never king unless you win a championship.
Well, Judge hasn't won a championship.
You shouldn't have given him the crown before he won a championship. Judge is not clutch. He's the king because he has 62 home runs in the season. He has a batting average of .395.
So who's the king of New York then? Is that what's your answer to that?
Aaron Judge.
Oh, it is Aaron. Well, you just defeated your whole purpose because you said you got to win a championship. He doesn't want a championship. No one in this loser town has won a championship.
And we're gonna get to this at a later date. I don't think today's the day for it. But last night's fourth quarter, I think, officially summed up. Jalen Brunson is not the king of New York.
No, it does not.
And that's dead.
It doesn't officially do anything.
He's got to be dethroned, Sean.
Yeah. Well, he should have never been put on the throne to begin with. You can't have the drop fly, but you can't. You know what? Not time for it. Just know that he's not, and he gave it up last night.
Are you watching the Eastern Conference Finals under squarely the prism of Jason Brunson's kingness?
Jalen Brunson.
Is that what I just said?
You said Jason.
Jalen Brunson.
Squarely?
Sorry, I was fantasizing about Jason Kidd 5 minutes ago. Speaking of better times.
Who Stan Van Gundy brought up last night, which I thought was fascinating. But... No, Evan, I'm not watching it squarely through that prism. I'm watching it as an IBO, some might call it. And part of my IBO folder is this guy who's only bucket in the fourth quarter when he's missed a clutch comes with 16 seconds left as the king of New York. My fat ass. So call whatever prism you want.
Well, I think the problem you're running into is I'm going to use something you said to me against you. Back in February, when Jalen Brunson had some kind of crazy performance and we rekindled the king of New York debate, you said, hey, look, this isn't fair. Aaron Judge isn't playing in February.
Right.
So it's easy for you to just talk about Jalen Brunson. What about come July? You know, when Aaron Judge hits 4 home runs in a game and he's hitting .395, it'll be easier for me to win the case. I think the problem you have now is we're talking postseason basketball.
Okay.
And yes, Jalen Brunson has not been perfect. Well, think about what happened in postseason baseball last October. Right now, Aaron Judge is not playing postseason baseball. He's not striking out with guys on base.
I agree.
He's not being carried by his teammates. So what hurts Brunson benefits Judge in that the flashlight, if you will, not flashlight, the light, the big
spotlight.
Spotlight of October is not currently on him.
I would agree. However, I've always made this case. When it comes to doing King of New York stuff, when it comes to basketball players like Jalen Brunson, you need to grade on a curve. A lot more opportunities, the ball in your hands, it's different than baseball. And on the curve right now, if you're going out versus the Pacers in back-to-back years, and Pacers got a little Astros in them to the Knicks.
They have not gone out to the Indiana Pacers yet. I know we are in such a rush to end this basketball season. We're in a rush to talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're in a rush to talk about Kings of New York. We're in a rush to fire Tom Thibodeau. That is not fair. They are down 3-1. It doesn't look good. The series is not over. The season is not over. So whether it's you with the King of New York or someone else talking about firing the coach or trading for players, we'll get there. Just not yet.
When the
I think that's disrespectful to what's going on in this series.
Okay. I agree, because it's not over yet.
Right. Exactly. Whether we think it's over or not, it's irrelevant.
Until tomorrow.
Possibly tomorrow.
With my new prediction.
That embalming fluid's out. That means it's over. That's over.
I trust you as far as I can throw right now. Mr. Let's get the broom out with the Pacers up big.
You texted that to me.
I don't remember that. Reggie is calling from White Plains. How are you, Reggie?
Cheeky Ev. Been listening to the Afternoon Drive since the 90s, man. Pleasure to speak to you guys.
Likewise, Reggie.
Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Got it. Listen, I'm going to tell you why I think Jalen isn't the king, unfortunately, because I'm a big Knicks fan. My uh-oh moment came in game one. The collapse was happening. Under a minute left. Pacers had to foul. Ball in Brunson's hands. I said to myself, we're good. Jalen's going to make these free throws. And what happened? Jalen gave the rock up. He passed it over to Towns.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, I turned to my brother. And I said, my jaw dropped. I said, wow, maybe he's not the guy. And maybe it's to your point, Kiki. I think that he was gassed. And they're kind of floundering down the stretch in these games.
Right. I mean, you feel it and you can see it when guys, like, there's an extra energy that makes you, I don't want to say extra athletic, but you know what I mean. Like, you go above your athleticism and you make the play. And you're like, oh, that guy's awesome. You didn't see it. You saw it from the Pacers. You don't see it from the Knicks.
The thing
I lied, because you did see it from Cat in game three, right? When he's beasting in the lane. He's like, I don't care who's here. I'm bullying my way to the basket. And if you're in my way, you're going to get hurt type of thing. But you don't see that enough from enough of these guys. And so to me, it's telling me that they're just, like, they're gassed. They're fatigued. And there's something that's making their minds and their bodies not do what they're capable of doing in those moments. Because we've seen them do it.
Yeah.
It's just not happening enough or consistently enough.
One thing that they have improved on after that game one collapse is that they lost game one partially because they could not make free throws.
Yes.
And it's a killer. And it's been a killer throughout Knick history. If you go to a lot of the brutal Knick losses, like take the Reggie Miller game,
mm-hmm.
the 8 points in the 8.5 seconds. John Starks missed two big free throws.
Right.
Like, we sort of forget that, or maybe we don't forget that, but big free throws were missed. So you go back to game one, they missed 12 free throws. It was unacceptable. Since game one, the New York Knicks are making 87% of their free throws. They have responded in these last three games mm-hmm. by taking advantage of their opportunities at the line.
Right. So now, the problem is you can't apply that, revise history and apply that to game one, because then we'd be 2-2 right now.
Everything would be different.
It'd be so different.
I can't even say it would be 2-2 because I think the mentality of everything is different. If the Knicks are up 1-0, I can't assume game two is going to play out exactly the way it did.
True.
Maybe the Knicks don't lose. Maybe they're up 2-0. So I know we like to do this with series. We did this in the Boston series. Celtic fans did it all the time. I would really be 1-1 or mm-hmm. be 2-0. Like, you can't do that. Everything changes when a result changes. Here are the facts. They're down 3-1. Can they come back? Yes. Are we confident they're going to come back? No, because the Knicks are going to have to do something they haven't done in a while, and that's be consistently at their best for three straight games. And I've been notified that we did our math wrong when we tried to do 48 times three. It's 144. We claimed 148. So our apologies. Bad mouth. We're off by 4 minutes. Actually, maybe we were including a potential overtime.
Yeah.
But then we would have been a minute off.
Yes,
so true. Either way, we're screwed. Either way, we screwed it up. Back to your calls in a few minutes, 888-808-1019. Plus, Pat McAfee decided to run a wrestling promo on some of the New York celebrities that made the trip. You may have heard what Pat McAfee said. If you hadn't, we'll play it for you. But Ben Stiller has responded. So take a listen to what he had to say. If you guys didn't see it, last night, right before Knicks Pacers in Indiana, they brought out their biggest celebrity. And that, of course, is Pat McAfee, who played for the Indianapolis Colts and was a huge media star. And he cut a promo.
Basically, he's all about Indiana sports, by the way.
He is.
He's always at the Colts games.
He is.
I think he has a box there, and he's always at the Pacers games.
True blue. And I respect that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a national voice. Most national voices represent New York or California. So it's kind of cool to have a national voice represent something as random and as hicky as Indianapolis, Indiana. So good for him. But he cut a promo on the celebrities that made the trip, because if you were watching the game, you saw that Ben Stiller was there, Spike Lee was there, Timothy Chalamet was there. And so here is Pat McAfee, if you missed it, really riling up the crowd by cutting a wrestling promo on the Knick fan celebrity.
Indianapolis, Indiana. We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here. Ben Stiller is here. Timothy Chalamet is here. Let's send these sons of bitches back to New York with their ears ringing. Let's turn this
Now, I say this as like a wrestling fan or as a sports fan. Forget about the fandom.
It's kind of epic.
That was awesome. I thought that was really, really cool. Would you agree with that, Tommy, even though you are a Knicks fan?
I just said it to Sean off air. I was like, put the Knicks fandom aside, and obviously I'm a huge wrestling fan. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Like, if you're Indiana, you're not New York City, Pat is one of their biggest stars. It was a good way to, you know, get the crowd riled up.
Now, this morning, I heard Boomer and Geo talking about this, and they surmised that McAfee told those guys, hey, look, I'm going to cut a promo on you just to give you a heads up.
Wow, that's very wrestling of Pat. Now, give him the heads up.
We have an answer because Ben Stiller appeared on the Putback with Ian Begley, which is a wonderful YouTube show that Ian does on the Knicks and the Nets and the NBA. And so Ben Stiller was a guest. And I have the answer. I could tell you if Ben knew about it. Before we play Ben Stiller's response, what do you think about that summation that Boomer and Geo had? Do you think they're right?
I think they are right.
That Ben knew about it. Okay.
I think that he told them.
Sean, what do you think?
I'm going to say no, they did not know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is from the Putback. And listen to the whole thing. It's Ben Stiller, I think, in a very calm way, cut his own promo on Pat McAfee. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Begley and Ben Stiller.
Did you know that was coming?
I have to say, I was not familiar with his game. I did not know that was coming. Look, I'm a casual football fan. I know that he was like he was a field goal kicker.
Punter for the Colts.
Punter. He was a punter. Yep. Okay. Yep. So, and then he got really popular on his show. Yeah. Was he also a wrestler?
Does he also wrestle? I think he does WWE commentary. He does work with them.
Got it. Yep. Okay. So yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I did know that Timothy, you know, had been on his show. And I was like, oh, that's your boy. That's your guy. And then so when that happened, I was a little bit like, whoa, that's okay. But then the WWE aspect of it, I get it. He's like, you know, it's just not the way it happens in New York. You know what I mean? It's not right. What, you know, if you go on the Jumbotron, like they're going to show him, you know, if he comes to the Garden, he should come to the Garden for game five. And, you know, they'll put him up on the screen and they'll show him punting the ball and everybody will give him a nice cheer.
That's actually a fantastic suggestion.
I don't know if Ben did this on purpose. He just calmly destroyed Pat McAfee.
It was good. That's good.
Like, I don't know what Ben knows and what doesn't know, but he played the Francesa game of, I don't know who this guy is.
Right. Yeah, he played football. He was a field goal kicker or something like that. And did he also wrestle? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what he should do, though, is come to New York and stick his candy ass in the Garden and see what happens to him.
And the best part is he says, come to the Garden and they'll show highlights of you kicking the ball. I got to hand it to Ben. That was good stuff.
That was solid.
It was a calm, very kingly response.
But it also seems like it was part of the work.
Oh, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I'll tell you why. Ben Stiller is very active on social media. As you know, he follows Tommy and even retweeted Tommy a couple days ago.
How does he not know who Pat McAfee is then?
Well,
especially given this series.
He went on social media.
It's not like we're game one.
No, I gotcha. He went on social media after the game and was tweeting about this and basically took the stance of, what is this crap? Like, we would not do this in New York. And I got the vibe he was a little agitated. I did. I got a vibe that he was a little annoyed. And then I think he said, all right, you know what? I will go on with Ian Begley, and I'm going to bury Pat McAfee in the calmest, sweetest way possible. And that's what I think he did, and that's what I think he meant to do.
I love it then.
And I think he's right.
Well, like, the thing is, you think Pat McAfee is going to take him up on it.
I think McAfee would do it, and I think he should do it. Because
He did his show from outside, I forget what they're...
Gamebridge Fieldhouse.
Right, whatever it is.
I still call it Conseco.
Right. He did his show from outside of that yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And so in order for him, he'd have to do his show here.
Yes.
And I don't know, could he? Would he do that?
I mean, he should. I mean, it's Knicks Pacers, and I think, like, if you're doing the series, right, it's the series. And I do think that he would love, because he is in professional wrestling. I think he does a great job in professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the great analysts in pro wrestling. I think he's funny.
Well, he gets the product. He takes it seriously.
No, I think he's great.
Meaning in the workish, yes, type of way. He takes it seriously.
100%. And he can go in the ring. He actually fought Gunther a couple of weeks ago, and I thought they put together a pretty good match. So I think McAfee's professional wrestling work is great, and being the professional wrestling guy that he is,
right,
he should show up at Madison Square.
Why not embrace the heel?
Yes.
Why not be the part B to Tyrese Halliburton?
The problem is,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Here's the issue that Ben is not bringing up. The garden won't play along. They won't. The garden's not going to put him on the big screen.
That's a good point.
I think they're above it. So I think McAfee could show up and TNT could put him on the screen, but I don't think the garden would actually do that.
He could pull a Scott Hall and come down through the seats and then cut a promo. You know who I am, yeah, and you know why I'm, yeah, here.
And you know what would
he
happen?
Could do that.
You know what happened? Ask Charles Oakley what would happen.
Yeah.
Well, what does Pat care? He's not going to want to come back to the garden. You know what I mean? You go
but they're
out.
They're not going to play along.
No, I understand. Like, but TNT can.
Yes, they can.
So you could do it via TNT.
Sure. I think it's a great idea. I just don't think any of it's going to happen. But good job by Ben. I think he. I think he schooled Pat McAfee, honestly.
And for what it's worth, McAfee addressed us on the show and said he literally had somebody from the Pacers come down right before the fourth quarter with a camera and said, we're going to put you on the screen. And then the MC came over and said, I'm going to give you the microphone. Do what you want to do for 40 seconds to fire the crowd up.
So it was all spur of the moment on McAfee.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, McAfee later explained that he looked over and he saw Spike Lee sitting there all nervous. And he said, you know what? Screw them. I'm going after all.
That's a good promo. Because I think for the people in Indianapolis, I'm sure that they get off on that. Like, yeah, it's New York with the celebrities and a hottie-totty people. So I think that it was perfect for that for that fan base.
But it's kind of an indictment on the Pacer fan, though.
What's up?
How the hell did all those celebrities get those prime seating?
Well, because they have no celebrities. Who the hell are they putting up courtside?
Okay, but still.
John Cougar Mellencamp was there.
Who is he supporting? Small town guy, right?
Indiana. He was a Pacer fan.
I think it's just John Mellencamp now.
Yeah.
Is it?
He retired the Cougar.
He killed the Cougar.
I've always wondered. I was about to call you Spike because I'm thinking of Spike Lee. I've always wondered, like, Spike is courtside everywhere.
True.
So how does he get that? Are the franchises being helpful?
He spends the money, I'm sure.
Right, but from whom? It's not like those tickets are readily available.
I would.
Like, are the franchises being okay with it? Did the Pacers sell them the tickets?
I would bet. I don't know this for all venues, but I think those tickets are only purchasable for certain games.
Mm.
Meaning, if you have courtside tickets, you can't have them for all whatever and through the playoffs. I think you're only allowed to purchase some.
But why would the Pacers, or in my case, the Nets,
money.
Why would they be good with selling it to celebrity fans of the other team?
Double face value?
Oh, so you think they price gouge them?
100%.
Okay. No, I'm asking.
They price gouge the regular fan sitting in 300.
They do that.
Do they not? So but why would they not?
If you are, whatever franchise you are, wouldn't you rather price gouge a random than price gouge somebody that while they're famous, they're rooting for the other team? Or do you take that as a badge of honor? Hey, they're in our building. Great. Great. More publicity.
Badge of honor.
So the Pacer organization prefers Ben Stiller and Timothy Chalamet sitting there over Joe Schmo. Even if they're paying the same amount of money.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't think the NBA leans on Indiana there and goes, you know, for TV purposes, these guys got to be here.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe, I know that all those, because the same thing is at the Garden. And you can buy those courtside seats, but you can't buy them for every game.
Interesting.
There's some of them, I'm talking about the regular season.
Right.
The tickets are available for MSG to do with what they will. So I would definitely assume in the postseason, that's the case with every arena.
Mm.
So, who knows?
But you know why the Knicks lost last night?
Why?
Because those celebrities were there. Boomer has a theory that the reason the Knicks are losing at the Garden is because of the celebrities.
No.
Boomer Esiason!
You disagree with Boomer? No, they're losing because they can't play the pace of the Indiana Pacers.
I got you. Let's go to John calling from Huntington. How are you, John?
Hey, what's up, guys? I think we all can see the myriad of problems the Knicks are having throughout this series so far. And I think at a different point in time, where we could all attribute that to fatigue, because they all seem like fatigue-driven mistakes to me. And the emergence of Tyrese Haliburton in this series has just been unbelievable.
I don't think all of it is fatigue-related. I know you made the point, Teek, that some of it is.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is just they play dumb basketball.
Yeah.
Like, and to come out and start a game with a lack of urgency, which is what we saw even before this series started, I don't know if that's just related to fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the fatigue related to that? They played a lot of games during the regular season? I don't know if I buy that.
I think it's in-game fatigue. I don't think it's fatigue in general. Like, hey, this is a long season. We played, you know, 82 plus whatever it is now, games in the postseason. I think it's in a game. You just get tired of running back and forth and back and forth. And you're doing it at a pace that you're just simply not used to. We know that they played a relatively slow pace. Now the Pacers are playing significantly faster, and they're trying to match it.
Bob is calling from Keyport. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. I just wanted to say, if you look at the Knicks' record this postseason, it kind of seems like after a travel day, they're always winning. So that would make Tommy right, I guess, that they would win in seven.
Say that one more time. They what after travel days?
Right. So when they travel, they win.
Hold on.
So game two, they lose game two. They travel, then they win game three.
Okay, so it's not true.
And then they don't travel, they lose game four.
Right.
So now they would travel. and they would win game
five. Well, we have to look at the entirety of the postseason. In the Detroit series, they lost game two, traveled to Detroit, and then they did win game three and game four. But then when they traveled back to the city, they lost. So on travel days, 1-1 in the first round. Actually, 2-1 in the first round. In the Boston series, they lost after they came back to the Garden from Boston. Then when they went back to Boston, they lost again, and then they won. So they were 1-2. So 3-3 overall. In this series, they're 4-3 because they won the game after the travel day. So if we include all of the postseason, the point is, no, it's flawed. The only thing that's not flawed when it comes to stats with the Knicks is the fact that the New York Knicks cannot win when Tommy Lugauer is at Madison Square Garden.
You're hot stuff.
That's the only thing, because you're 0-3. That's just indisputable. 0-3.
Okay.
This stat our last caller gave makes them 4-3. That's significantly different than 0-3.
No, the caller said what he said, and then he said, Tommy is right. You should have just moved on. You should have just moved on.
I went through what their record. Because I wanted to respond to his point with the facts.
Because technically you're wrong.
Yeah, technically you're
but
wrong.
Don't in let this, the, okay.
In this postseason,
don't let the
Knicks,
facts get in the way of a good lauding of Tommy, the generational talent.
Is that what you wanted us to just say, oh, Tommy's right, let's just move on?
Can I give you a real world scenario? We've all been there where our wives have said, hey, does this outfit make me look fat? What do you say in return? Let me look this up, honey. You have put on 5 pounds in the last couple weeks. Enough with the statisticians.
You're comparing our wives asking us if they look fat in a dress to you being correct on a dumb sports opinion.
And by the way, you say P-H-A-T. Yes, you do look fat. Yes, don't look stuff up. Just say Tommy's right and we move on.
Well, we looked it up. Okay. On travel days, the Knicks are 4-3. So there's no rhyme or reason for that. Here's what they need to do. They got to stop turning the freaking ball over.
Mm-hmm.
They have lost the turnover battle in every game of this series. And you know what they are in totality in the four games in this series? They are minus 18. And against a team as dangerous as Indiana, you can't do that. You can't turn the ball over 5 or 6 more times against a team that's going to really take advantage of it. Vince is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Vince. Hello, Vince. Vince going once. All right, Vince. We'll go to Eric in Manhattan. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Evan, I'm a Mets guy like you, but I can appreciate some good basketball. This has been really entertaining.
It has.
To your chemistry point, first season of Miami Heat with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch was not their best season. In fact, they made it to the finals and lost to a team that was less talented, Dirk and Jason Terry?
Yeah.
And who coached that team?
Yeah.
Who coached that team? Rick Carlisle. The guy's elite.
Yeah.
The other point is, if you look at the players last night on the Pacers, off their bench, none played over 20 minutes. They combined 12 for 18 for 35 or 36 points.
Right.
The Knicks guys who played under 20 minutes combined for 15 points.
Right.
That's, you know, the Knicks got to build a bench like the Heat did back then. Not the Heat, but if they build
doubt.
The bench.
No doubt. And that is going to be their priority during the offseason, and they'll have the mid-level exception to try to add talent to this roster. Like, I think the priority, I know there's going to be a lot of talk about making blockbuster trades and can they trade for this star or that star. We'll talk about it. I don't think it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it is going to be improving the bench. But here's the other thing that I think happened when comparing the Carlisle bench to the Thibodeau bench. Tom Thibodeau has gone to guys in the last two games that he hasn't gone to in a month.
Right.
Guys that weren't tested throughout the regular season. And so when we criticize Tom Thibodeau's lack of bench or minutes police discussions, it's not strictly the amount of minutes starters are playing. It's toying with different rotations to figure out what works. He didn't do that a lot during the regular season.
No, and so when you get into this type of situation, you get into the postseason, now you're not struggling, but you need to sit guys down, and maybe for not just a minute or two, for an extended amount of, you don't trust it.
Because you're also playing rotations that you didn't even play during the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, you're not throwing new things out there in desperation, which is what they're doing. That's not ideally what you want to do. And getting back to the chemistry thing, I believe in chemistry, especially in the NBA. The point I made earlier is that Tom Thibodeau played those five guys so much this season, they had already logged 940 minutes during the regular season. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'd be curious to see how many minutes did the big Heatle three log together.
Right.
In that first season. I don't know the answer. Is it 940? I don't know if that's the case. And again, to put it in perspective, the Knicks starting five logged 940 minutes together in the regular season. The next closest lineup was at 500 in the entire league. So when we talk about chemistry, we just need to be fair that these guys have played in an inordinate amount of time together.
Right.
And so instead of just saying, well, it's chemistry, it could be that it doesn't work well together. Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, for whatever reason, haven't developed this great chemistry. I don't understand it. I don't understand why they don't run pick and rolls more for them. I don't get it. And so I don't know if more time is necessarily going to change that or if it's just an odd fit. That could be part of the problem. We'll get into the Met game once it's final. We'll get you set for the Yankee game tonight. And let's not forget what started the Tyrese Halliburton phenomenon. What started Tyrese Halliburton becoming a heel in New York City? We'll remind you coming up, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.